All right, everyone. Thanks so much. Welcome back. Today, we have Andrea Lannan with us. She is the Vice President of Sales at Data Visual. She's an AV geek, her words, not mine, a happy wife, mother of two, and a health and fitness guru. She has 23 years in the AV industry. Welcome, Andrea. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Woo! Woo!
Okay. So, Andrea, did you go to a post-secondary facility to study anything related to the field that you're currently in? Or
yes.
Was it something you just kind of got into?
I would say a mixture of both. But, I mean, yes, I ended up going to Fanshawe College and took their audiovisual and multimedia production technician program. Very long title. And actually, I really enjoyed it. And then in high school, though, hence the AV geek title, I was really into audio as a high school student. And if you are my age, you were using cassette decks and recording from the radio. So I ended up loved mixing cassettes, etc. That kind of pushed me into the AV world, and then decided to go into audiovisual and went to college at Fanshawe College down in London, Ontario.
Very nice. Does that program still exist?
Not that I'm aware of.
Wow. Because I know there's not many programs or really anything related to AV. A lot of people just kind of trip and fall into it. I think you're one of the only people we've chatted with that actually has a, you know, post-secondary background in audiovisual, which is kind of crazy when you think about our industry.
Yeah. Yeah, I know a few individuals in the industry that I've met with that actually went to Fanshawe. So
oh, wow.
It's uncommon, but there's a few of us out there.
Yeah, actually, I think Fanshawe is probably the only institution right now that has anything close to a degree that would land you in AV. So I think it still exists, but it's probably named something completely different, maybe.
And we're hoping that changes with the use of AV and tech. I mean, so much. Maybe someone is writing the courses as we speak. Who knows? You got to add on to it and contact Andrea for some experience and course material.
Slicing audio and video cassettes back in the day is very different than today. So please hold the calls.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, that I feel like maybe that's just something that they would need to update way too frequently. Think about how much it's changed. Like even tech has changed in the past, you know, 5 years. Imagine just having to go back and just redo that. Or maybe just have the students do all the installations, free labor.
There we go.
It's a good way to learn. Anyways, moving forward, what was your first job out of college, out of your Fanshawe program? Was it in the AV industry?
No, it was not. Actually, my mother was, she was a director at a hospital and very educated a woman, and basically said that, you know, I need to get out into the workforce out of college. And immediately to make some money, I ended up going door-to-door sales. So I was selling like the East Side Mario's, you know, you buy the tickets and you get a free dessert when you go. I don't think they're really out there anymore. But anyhow, so that was, yeah, I don't know if you recall those. But anyhow, I was doing door-to-door sales, and along with that was also telecom. But not long after, I had the lecture again from my mother saying, you paid for all this education, so you need to get into what you went to school for. So I applied to various audiovisual organizations in Ottawa, and that's where I'm from. And I had a couple of interviews, and yeah, I landed my first audiovisual job in the industry in Ottawa at a company called Total Media Systems. And unfortunately, the company is no longer around, but I was there for about 2 years, and I loved it. It was great. It was my first experience into AV and into sales. So, and here I am today.
So it made big enough of an impact on you that you stuck around this whole time.
Yeah, I sure did.
It did for all of us, really, because I mean, we have some lifers, right? So, people don't really leave. There's not a big percentage of people that actually leave our industry. But a lot of people from different industries and verticals are actually coming into our space, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of lifers that do once you get into AV and how you stumble upon it, if it's through education, word of mouth, or give it a good old try, you tend to stay in it. Not all, but it seems to be that way.
Or maybe you were just in Vegas the second week of June every other year and you stumbled across some really cool convention. Maybe, no?
Maybe. Not me.
I think it sounds familiar. Wonder if we're going to have that. Were there any interruptions or changes at the onset of your career that you can remember?
Well, thanks to Data Visual, took me back. But yes, I ended up, so I moved from Ottawa to Kingston and, you know, living newly married as well and not having to travel, I thought, because obviously with my position with Data Visual, I was having to travel across Ontario. So I was on that 401 corridor quite a bit. And there was a position that opened up at St. Lawrence College. So I ended up applying and I was the successful candidate and ended up going on full time at St. Lawrence College in Kingston as, what was the title? My position was, it was in the audiovisual department and basically dealing with the teachers and lending out equipment and having to go and, you know, repair, well, not technically repair, but replace products. But anyhow, it ended up not being for me. And after being, you know, traveling and being in sales for many years, I just realized that that career path just wasn't for me. So I ended up resigning less than 6 months into the position. The director ended up letting me know that I went down in history because I was a full-time employee at the college and also had, you know, the package, the benefits and all that fun stuff that people look for. And I resigned. So he kind of patted me on the back and said, good for you. And you realize it wasn't for you. And thankfully, Data Visual took me back. and here I am today. So had the bird's eye view of, you know, being on the reseller side, on the end user side, and now on the distribution manufacturer rep side of the industry. So having that bird's eye view of all three sides of it, facets of the industry. So it's I always picture the whole situation in, you know, someone else's shoes. So having that experience, I think is beneficial.
For sure. I would agree.
I mean, that's really interesting. And I guess also great for you to go and experience different things in your career from different viewpoints, but yet all in the same industry, right? Because not a lot of people would really get that opportunity. And it sounds like you did it fairly early in your career and then just found something that you really loved and you could stick to and build upon. And I mean, now here you are, vice president of sales at the company that took you back. So it worked out.
Sure did. So yeah, it was probably roughly about, I want to say 13, 14 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was quite some time ago, but you know, I'm just thankful to be have a position during this crazy time in our life and this this field. So, yeah.
And we're glad that we're still working with you after all these years.
Same here.
What kind of advice would you give to someone that's kind of trying to get into the AV industry or even in distribution, even working with manufacturers or vendors? Is there anything that you could provide as insight to that?
Always keep learning as much of the technology as possible. Never burn bridges. That's one lesson. Big as much as possible. In any job, any industry, you're going to have individuals that, you know, you might want to burn a bridge with them, but at the end of the day, be the bigger person and take the higher road. But also learn within the IT, the networking aspect, we're seeing a lot more, obviously, into the AV market space, and just network a lot. Network. Never stop meeting people. That's kind of what I have done anyhow. So,
yeah, and I think that's great advice, because just going around to different shows or attending conventions and just kind of going around the booths and meeting people, introducing yourself. I think you're right. Just like networking is huge.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I agree. Don't burn bridges, because it's funny. Just yesterday, not going to name any names, but people who you think are out of your life, don't think you're going to run into them. You will see them again. And it was very interesting. And in different roles, right? So it's kind of cool. Ooh, a teaser.
A teaser to what? I don't know.
A teaser to maybe something. I don't know.
And I mean, with the networking thing too, I think that, like, even with AVIXA, they help a lot with that too, right? Because there's, you know, the dedicated AVIXA, like, groups for Canada, like AVIXA Women. And I mean, just a lot of other things too, right? I know there's typically a big following for AV on Twitter. And I mean, even in LinkedIn, there's like a bunch of groups and stuff like that. And I mean, I feel like every single person we've talked to, at least so far, says that learning is one of the biggest things, because there are so many resources out there, at least now, that people can take advantage of that don't necessarily cost money, even though it's not a dedicated program in a college or university anymore. There's still a lot of resources for it. But I think that still needs to be pushed even further, right? Because there's still, you know, a need for the conversation about it.
Absolutely. For sure. Like the social media aspect of it, it's now instantaneously, as where when I began in the industry, you know, yes, there was internet. Okay, people. really? So, you know, it's so much more at our fingertips, as were previously, like literature, like brochures back then. That was something of the, you know, oh my God, you're getting literature. Now it's instant. You're just online. Everything is there and you can learn so much quicker. Back in the day, we would wait for manufacturers to come in and visit us and tell us the information, or, you know, read it on an email, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just instant.
Well, my previous employer, I remember they had a room that was dedicated to physical, like, marketing material. Wow. Called spec sheets, and you know, they would keep this room just dedicated for it. It was crazy. It was like a big catalog of actual flyers, and in theory it's probably a good idea, but not, because it was like changing so often. Correct. So, you know, if you went in there, it's like you're trying to find out something about some amplifier, but it's like discontinued and no one's updated it. So now it's a lot easier to learn, just with everything on the web and everything. But yeah, I agree.
When I began at Data Visual, it was the binders. I don't know if you remember getting
a
binder from
Data
Visual.
Oh my gosh, I do.
It was the binder, with the priceless binder, along with the, you know, spec sheets, as what you mentioned. So yeah.
What is the craziest thing that's ever happened to you in an interview? I know many people probably have answers to this question, but we want to know your juiciest story.
Well, when I started into the industry, the president asked me, he just asked me, kiddo, I want a female in this industry and I want to give you a chance. And that's literally how I got into the industry. So I don't really have a crazy interview answer. So it's kind of cool. But then I went to my desk the next day when I came in, because he said I could start the next day. And I had a phone book on my desk. I had a computer and a 8x10 sheet of paper with account names on them. And being in Ottawa, it was all acronyms of D&D and CRA. And that's literally how I started in the industry. But
actually pretty interesting. Okay, so now that we're talking about crazy things, what is one of the most common myths that you feel is wrong about our profession? Or is there one that you want to debunk?
Well, I think we've already debunked what I was thinking is women can do it too. You know, back in the, like, I can relate back to when I started in the industry, when we would go to these trade shows. You know, if it was, Infocom, we would see these ladies at the booth that were wearing not much clothing. I think that actually it's debunked. I think that's done now. So, yeah. But that was a, you know, we didn't see many women in the industry when I first started. So back to the president that first hired me, that's how it began, because he wanted to see that shift. And in where we are today, there's three women here on this call. So I think we've proven that. And I don't know if it was much of a myth that, you know, women can't do it, but it was always the boys' club.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah, I agree with that. Like when I went to InfoComm for the first time, I felt like I was literally the only female there. And I think that was in 2003, 2004.
Yeah.
And I felt like, oh my gosh, like there's not much representation here. And then, of course, I did walk to booths and I saw ladies of the booth there. That's what I call them. And they were hired and given a script. And it was just to kind of attract people, which were primarily male based, to the booths to get them there. And then they would read off a script and obviously tell potential customers, you know, if you need to know more, you need to talk to this rep. And I thought, well, that's pretty crappy, because, you know, we can be in this field. There is space for us. And luckily that's changed a lot. And we have, you know, females in distribution, in integrators, and in vendors and manufacturers. So kind of all over the place. So completely different than when I first joined as well. So yeah, I agree with you.
And I mean, I love that back when you started your first job in AV out of college, that not the reason you were hired, but one of the reasons why you were having that conversation is because, you know, your previous boss wanted to see more women in the industry. And mm-hmm. that being, I'm just going to say, so many years ago, sorry, Andrea, when it was, I mean, that is for them to realize at that point that that is something they want to see and that should be, you know, pushed forward a little bit more, and that people, no matter the gender, can do a job if it's in technology or whatnot. I think that's remarkable, because even the conversations we're having today are still so strong about that. So for that to happen, I'm sorry to say this again, so long ago, is like amazing, because who knows if that never started or if that never happened for you, would you have still been in the AV industry? We don't know. Maybe.
Most likely.
We all know you would have found your place in the AV industry eventually if that wasn't the path. Bertine, is there anything else that you would want to debunk?
That you need to be educated in something related to the industry before you get in.
No, not at all. Yeah.
And most 90% of the people actually do courses once they're in the industry, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 1,000%. Well, maybe that's a little much, but yeah, it's very true. I'll ask people just that I've, you know, during my travels, and ask that, not the myth question, but, you know, how did you get into the industry? And they are new into the industry. Like Allison, you didn't come from the industry at all.
She literally graduated and then she came in for an interview, and that's how we literally
I
got
wasn't
her.
Even graduated, Bertine. It was a week after.
She wasn't even, she didn't even graduate at that point. You know what the funny thing is? I actually have a horrific story about somebody that I interviewed that did not make it into any sort of next steps, but like it was really bad. Like I actually ran to the controller's office and I was like, I need you to walk this person out right away.
Okay, that might be a story we need to tell off of the podcast, because I'm intrigued. So, Andrea, let's get to know you a little bit more. What's a crazy but true fact about you? No rhyming needed for that. Sorry.
It's not really crazy. It's a fact, but you might cringe after I tell you, but I had my hair pulled out from a cake blender when I was five in the back. I had really long hair.
That's crazy.
So I was sitting on the counter. My mother was, she would make wedding cakes and cakes for birthdays and things like that. Just part-time, because she loved cooking. Anyhow, So I was sitting on the counter helping, and I'd hair Alice in the length of your, like, as a child, think all the way down to the end of your back by your bum. Long blonde hair, and I leaned over, and it wasn't in a ponytail, so when I leaned over, it slipped over my shoulder and went straight into the cake mixer. And when it did, it ripped it out, and there was blood everywhere. And since then, when I turned, it grew back, rushed me to the hospital, et cetera, et cetera. I don't remember a thing of it. I'm just told this. I know Allison's cringing. But the doctor said that it would not grow back. Well, it did. But at the age of 18, I had longer hair, probably 13 year length, just past your shoulders. And I was leaning forward doing dishes, and a friend of mine noticed that I had two white spots on both sides of my hair starting to grow. And it was about 2 inches long, so it started growing white. So I now have two white, as the guys would say on their beard, soul patches. I have two white patches in the back of my head. So yeah, that's a crazy fact.
Oh my gosh, that is so crazy. And for all the people that are listening, Allison literally covered her ears and tied her hair into a ponytail because she was so traumatized by this. But do you think that your hair grew in white because it was so it was literally traumatic, that your head, your scalp couldn't even comprehend like the torture it went through? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, but like, it grew back like age of 5, and then I had my natural hair color, and then at the age of 18, it went white in that section, in those patches, and they were 2 inches long each. And so I told my mother, she's like, oh yeah, that's exactly where it pulled out.
Oh, yeah. That is so crazy. I'm like still trying to wrap my head around that. I like how you prefaced it with, I don't think this is crazy, but true. And I was like, this is crazy.
It just naturally happened in my life. So I'm over it, you know.
I don't know if anyone's going to top that story.
What I'm trying to imagine is, like, I don't even want to say it into words, but like, how hard could it have been pulling to like literally pull like pieces of your scalp out?
Oh, it was like on high mode. You know, the KitchenAid mixers, but like times up by two. Like my mother had a large, full-on industrial size, because she would make wedding cakes. And it was like it was full-on beating.
Okay, so I have a weird, and this is probably like weird question to ask, but has that put you off baking?
No, not at all.
Okay, like, do you not have blenders in your house because of that? Like, I just want to know that.
Oh yeah, we got a big KitchenAid downstairs.
And now you don't let your children go near it with long hair?
No.
You know what? Thank you for sharing that story, because now it makes me, like, I'm looking right at my KitchenAid mixer and giving it death stares because I'm like, don't you even try. Like, that's crazy. Andrea, you answered that question correctly. So the next question is, and this is like, I know that like I have a tough time doing this, but how would you describe what you do as a profession to your family?
Okay.
Because it's tough.
So the common answer I get when I have to go tell a family member or a, you know, long lost aunt or, you know, my in-law side, is, I thought you did computers. That's what I'll get from, you know, I thought you dealt with like computers. No. So I basically let them know that I'm in the audiovisual industry. And then they look at me like, well, what is that? So then I have to carry on and continue to tell them, you know, if you're in a corporate space or you go to a live event, you know, you're looking at the shows and you're having meetings. I'm looking at the speakers in the auditorium and the projectors and the screens and wanting to hear and see, you know, what the venue looks like as you're watching the concert or the hockey game. I'm looking at all the equipment. I said, so all that stuff there, and then I'll start naming our manufacturers that are under with Data Visual. And okay. I said, you know, when you go into boardrooms and corporate spaces or the educational facilities, you know, all that audiovisual products, gear, the technology that's in those rooms, that's the products that we distribute throughout Canada. Oh, so I really have to really bare bones bring it to their level. And then they understand, and they already know my position of what I do. That I don't know if they really get it, but that's the best way I can describe it.
No, that's perfect. That's kind of what I do anyways, too, is like I just try to use it where they would understand applications they've been into. But I also feel like when you do explain it to them, or like, say, for example, like whenever you're out with your family, like say you're in a, like we talked about this on another podcast, somebody else's podcast, like things will bother us where other people, it won't bother them. Like say the audio is bad in a restaurant or in a venue and we're like, oh my gosh, that's cringeworthy. But some people are like, what's wrong? Like it sounds fine. Or the video wall that you're at the restaurant you're eating at or displays, you're just like, oh, who installed that? But yeah, it's always tough to explain to them until you actually use it to an application that they would know for sure.
Yep, that's kind of how I keep it on their level of understanding.
And I think it's like the weirdest thing, because for something that almost everyone uses every day, people still truly don't understand it. You know, and like, I mean, just even stripping down the basics, like your TV at home, I think it should be skills that more people know about, especially moving forward, the amount that we rely on technology, right? And people still say, like, if you say audiovisual or AV, they're like, what? They don't really get it.
Like smart home or any of those type of, you know, that's residential, but they understand that.
Yeah, but just the general concept, I mean, it's still something that's not as much talked about. I mean, you go in your car, you listen to music, it's on a sound system, that's AV, right?
When we have to explain it's pro AV, and then they go, oh, okay, I think I get it.
Yeah,
they do. So can you still get me that deal on that Samsung Frame TV? Oh, gosh. Anyways.
Oh, my goodness. So... This question is like one of my favorite questions for sure. If you could be part of any TV show, what would it be? And I feel like I guessed the right answer for you.
I mean, I think maybe.
Wait, before you answer, let's ask Allison what she thinks it would be.
I remember saying this to you and it's Survivor.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what's coming to my mind. Is Survivor. I like the outdoors. B, I like competitions. C, I get along with people. Well, at least I think I do. And yeah, I think that all combined.
I was just going to say that Big Brother for you. Yeah, Big Brother. Yeah,
too. Then I don't have to be outdoors. Well, no, they do have those competitions. But I've had someone else say to me, SEAL?
Pardon?
Oh, the
SEAL team?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've not seen it.
Like, that's pretty intense. Why that one? Anyhow.
I don't know why, but I could picture you on Fear Factor because I feel like you wouldn't be grossed out by, like, eating bugs.
Oh, no, you got me there. No.
No?
No.
I don't
no.
know. Her hair got ripped out as a kid, so she's like, pretty,
you feel,
like,
I feel like
fearless.
You're so strong.
No, don't like snakes. I just finally, like, had to buck up because our kids had to... or started fishing more as a young age, so had to finally, you know, deal with worms. I hated them even when I would fish with my father. He would have to do it. Yeah, no, not really into the bugs. So no, not that one.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out. We haven't found out what show I would be on, but I'm trying to think of my favorite show. But yeah, I'm not sure yet.
I think I think you could win on Survivor. I don't know much about Survivor or Big Brother. I think Big Brother, they just lock you in a room. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, like you're in your own compound, I guess.
That makes it better.
I know. It just makes it even worse. You just don't have access to the outside world. So there's, which I'm fine with.
Do you get daylight?
Yes, you get daylight. Sounds like a prison.
Well, like, I mean, is it like, when I ask that, not is it like a prison, is it like... on a TV set, because you know when you're on a TV set you don't really typically get like true real windows.
Yeah, not like Bachelor. No, not like Bachelor, Allison. Yeah, it's on a TV set.
So Andrea,
yes,
we're kind of finishing with our podcast, but where can, you know, listeners, and I know there's a lot of you out there, so thank you for tuning in, where can they connect with you online?
Obviously the usual suspects that we do our searching through LinkedIn. I am on Twitter and also obviously email, but our website as well with datavisual.ca. Under contact us, you can find my information. But the most part would be LinkedIn.
Awesome. And I will also share Andrea's home address as well.
Funny gal.
Awesome.
So I look forward to connecting with some new people. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks so much, Andrea. Really appreciate it. And thanks for coming on and chatting with us and sharing your crazy facts that will make me think about baking every single time I do now.
That story makes me not want to bake anymore.
I'm sorry. It wasn't about the, you shouldn't have asked the question.
Shave head before proceeding. Just go. We should label this Bake with Caution. That's the name of this podcast. You know what's funny? We've actually learned a few interesting stories from people just because of this podcast, and it's crazy, like some of the things that we learned. So this is amazing. Not that it happened to you. I'm really sad that happened to you, but I'm like happy you're okay now.
Oh God. See, I don't even remember it. I don't like.
That's the quietest I've ever heard Allison on any of our interviews.
I felt like I was like honestly transported to that moment. And I could like visualize it and like I feel like I could feel it.
You felt that's it.
Someone has me under hypnosis. I apologize.
Allison's scared of hypnosis. Tell everyone. We found that out in a podcast that she's afraid of hypnosis.
Do you go under really quickly?
No, I've never done it. Like someone will like show it on TV and I will run away because I think it's gonna happen through the TV to me. And then that same night, Andrea, I went on Netflix looking for a new show. Guess what's in top 10? Hypnosis.
Bertine, have you ever been hypnotized?
I have not. Well, I mean, I just never had the chance to, but I'm not scared of it. I just don't know if I would be susceptible to it. I don't know.
I thought I wasn't. I've done it twice and oh yeah, super easy.
Don't say the words.
And it worked.
So what do they do with you? This is so interesting. Do they make you cluck like a chicken when the bell rang or something like that?
No, that's what everyone was like wanting him to make sure that nothing was going to happen. So essentially he was just putting us into a higher state and happiness. And like there was, I mean, I don't remember anything because
Do you have video footage?
No.
I don't believe it happened.
I know
they
that people
really calmly.
I know that people use hypnosis for like things to help themselves. Like I've heard of hypnosis. I used to stop smoking. I've heard of hypnosis for weight loss. I've heard of hypnosis for PTSD and things like that. Like I've heard that it has like it's helped a lot of people. I just don't know if it would work on me. Then I feel like I would embarrass them. Like if it didn't work on me, if I would, maybe you have to be open to it as well. Right.
Like, I don't understand how it could even I don't know.
You just go into a trance. Like you go, it's almost you're asleep. That's how it feels. Mm-hmm. And you just have to put your head down.
The next global USS event is going to be a hypnosis event.
I'm going to run. Like, I'm not telling you. It's going to be data visual sponsored. And we're going to run.
You know it will be.
It's going to put half the industry under a trance. Buy data visual.
Only data visual products.
All right. Let's get things wrapped up. We don't want to put anyone under hypnosis today. Thank you so much, Andrea, for joining us. It was a pleasure, and we learned so much about you.
I love this industry. Thank you both very much over the many years and for today. So hopefully there was a little insight of who I am and where I've been. And I look forward to meeting a lot more people. Always network.